But I was also looking back and thinking about some of the things that happened in this last year. And every year we put a slideshow together, and this year Ben's been working on it, and I looked at the pictures, and I began to see again the amount of ministry that takes place here. Tens of thousands of people in the community receive food assistance from St. Thomas. We don't think about it when we bring a few cans or when we support the kids in their can raising for Super Bowl Sunday or when we give a little money to the food pantry or when we participate in the breakfast at St. Paul's or when we go to the food pantry there. Just the impact that that is having on people in the community. Some of you may not know that we are a place that Safe Home calls on a regular basis to help with women who are needing rent assistance. It happens out of the discretionary account. Probably about once a month or more, they identify a client that needs rent, and it might put them in a safe situation, at least for that month or to get them started. There are other ministries that happen in the context of St. Thomas. We have 30-some kids that participate in our Parents' Day Out program, and it's always fun to see them coming in and to see their parents entrusting their children to their care here. That happens 3 days a week. We don't know about this, but there's an international flavor to that, as we have many families that are from other cultures that found themselves new to the United States and in our neighborhood. And sometimes this is the first opportunity for their child to be in class with other children in the new culture that they're in. I think also of our prayer shawl ministry and our pastoral care ministries that happen throughout the congregation. I don't remember the last count, but they'd given several hundred of those prayer shawls away to different people as an offering just to simply give people a piece of comfort in a time of grief or a time of health crisis. They've also made little hats that are delivered to nurseries at the hospitals for children to receive. I think of all the other things that happen. A new ministry for us this year is Tom's Helpers. How many of you know anything about that? Anybody? Yeah, you should. We talk about it a lot. Tom's Helpers, we have five adults with different developmental disabilities. They come 3 days a week, and they work here with us. They have a uniform. They have name tags. They have jobs that they do every week. They tear our bulletins apart and reorganize things. They put our bulletins together for Sunday. They get the parish hall set up for all our different events. They do extra vacuuming. They have a salsa business that you have a chance during certain seasons to buy salsa from them. They often make our cookies that we have on Sundays and get things ready for us. They do all kinds of other stuff as part of their learning. The hopes of that program is to give them the ability of to know what it's like to maybe have a job, and so then eventually to have enough training where they might be able to contribute in the larger community. But the other thing that's exciting about that ministry is how they're treated with great dignity by the staff and members of this church. They're offered a place in which they're appreciated and loved and cared for, and they have a purpose to their life. They have meaning because they have work to do. When the schools are closed for holidays, they're also closed, and I can't tell you how many times they still call and ask if they can come in. It's that kind of important thing that we do. There's all kinds of other ministries that go on that we don't think about. When I arrived here 9 years ago, it's hard to believe I can say that, but it's been 9 years. When I arrived here 9 years ago, our summer activities for children consisted of sending kids to church camp and having a vacation Bible school that happened on 3 days during the weekday. And there was lots of other things that happened during the year for kids. There certainly was Sunday school, and there was a youth group, and there was all kinds of other stuff that was going on. But one of the charges that the search team had and also the vestry was to build up those ministries. And I looked back at last summer, and we had 6 weeks of summer camp that happened here through ROTC, reaching out to the community for our third through fifth graders and our sixth through eighth graders, a summertime mission trip, weeks of arts camp, as well as vacation Bible school. In addition, there's opportunities that happen within the diocese to that. Sometimes it's easy to think that there's only one measure of successful youth ministry. Does anybody know what that is? Usually it's how many kids came to youth group on a particular time. And to me, that's not the only measure. It is one measure. But a bigger measure is, when our child walks out of this church, do they have a sense of faith? Have they had the opportunity to develop a deep relationship with God and a relationship with Christ? And that comes through a variety of different ways that they might be engaged. It comes through acolyting. It comes through serving as a greeter or an usher. It comes through Sunday school and Bible school. It comes through summer camp. It comes through service on mission trips. It comes through caring adults who reach out to our students while they're here. If someone has a baby and they join St. Thomas or they have a baby while they're here, that child gets to go to a nursery that has loving care. They learn a few lessons as they get old enough. Then they might go to Sunday school and they might participate in vacation Bible school and other offerings, or maybe be in the pageant and they might begin to learn the stories. They might join children's choirs, they get a little older. They might do some of the other activities we have and we offer. They might play in one of the youth bands. They might become an acolyte. They might do all those other things. And eventually they get older and they start driving and they start doing all kinds of stuff. And they grow up and they move on. And to me, one of the greatest measures of success is whether we've given them any kind of sense of faith. And that's also a challenge to us. And to see the long view of what we're offering. Sometimes we might not think how important having adult formation might be. I think we have this really great staff that has worked so hard to provide so many different things. And one thing that Ben has done in particular the last couple of years is to develop regular offerings for adult formation, whether it be they be Wednesday night classes or Thursday night classes or a Wednesday morning class or a Sunday. We have usually have two adult offerings, and lots of people have been teaching and offering that. We have EFM, a number of small groups and dinner groups and other things. All are places where you can engage the community and engage in faith. I think a lot of us have really big questions about what it means to be faithful, about what it means to be a follower of Christ and how we order the world, and we need places in which we can go and talk to others who have those same struggles. I wish I could tell you I always believed everything exactly like it is in the book, but sometimes I have to work at it, even as a priest. And I think you do too. I think of the amazing thing that happens in our worship with our choirs and with our altar guild and with the acolytes and with all those, the Eucharistic ministers and lectors, all those who help to prepare worship, and our diligent priests, and all the different things that happen. Hard work is put in and real ministry happens. So remember that story in the gospel about hearing a call to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All of that happens because of that. All of our Sunday school, all of our music, all of our outreach, all of our relationships with each other are centered around that particular relationship. And maybe sometimes we lose sight of that. This community has been there for people through times of grief and times of celebration, times of new birth, and times of burial. I remember one particular time this year when I saw us at our best. And I don't know that we really realize the kind of impact a faith community can have at particular times of struggle. Remember back in April when the shootings happened at the Jewish Community Center and down the street at the retirement home. I called a friend of mine who's a rabbi, and we were sort of talking to each other and saying, what do you know? Is it some of your people? Is it your people? Because it's right by where we all get together and do our things. And he and I, in sort of a whim, said we ought to get some people together and just let our people get together. When should we do it? Should we do it tomorrow, tonight? And we sort of decided, let's do it tonight. And we started making phone calls, and we let our people in our prospective communities go. And suddenly word went out. Someone let the media know, and someone let these folks know, and someone let someone else go. And then over time, our memory, it was like the fish that got bigger. We sort of, I was talking to somebody about the other day, and they said, well, didn't we have like, 20,000 people here? It wasn't quite that big, but it was big. Maybe around, between 800 and 1,000 people came that night, came looking for a place to be grounded, came looking for an opportunity to gather. And the thing was, it wasn't just Christians that came. It was Christians and Jews and Muslims and Sikhs and non-believers. It was all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life arrived in this place to gather for that moment, to say prayers and to be together and to feel safe and to find our solid ground to walk on. Other thing that happened was media came from all over the world, sent people. We had a dozen cameras from all kinds of different news stations up top. We had reporters from the New York Times, from Los Angeles Times, from all kinds of different papers here to hear what was going on. And to me, the God moment that happened was not anything that was to show St. Thomas's glory or my glory or anybody else's glory, but it was when Mindy Cooperone came in, who just lost her father and her son, and through some incredible feat of strength, was able to speak. And she shared her thoughts and her perspectives and her reaction. And she offered to us a glimmer of hope in the midst of devastation. And to me, the real ministry was that we opened the doors and we said, come in. And then the next day, on all the major news outlets, we saw a mother telling us to have hope instead of an image of someone who had caused evil. And to me, in that moment, I learned something about our faith and about our church and about who we can be. So we have a lot of work ahead for us. And I always say some different things. I talk about many hands make light work. Have you ever heard me say that? So what that means is I want you to think about where your place is in the church. Not everybody's going to do every ministry. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can make great food. Not everybody can work in the garden, you know. But we need people who can to volunteer. So when you hear us asking for help, when we have a great event like the IHN Christmas party, when we invite all these families back, and we need lots of people to sign up. I think 50 or so people from the church helped last time. We need you to sign up and to be part of that. When there's a call for people to serve on different committees or different places, we'll tell you when the meetings are going to happen, by the way. But we need you to step up and help in the ways that you can. Another thing is for us to recall our mission statement, and that is, come, grow, serve, make a difference. Come into faith, grow in your faith, serve others, and make a difference for Christ in the world. That's an important part of who we are, and there's others who are wanting to join us and others who want to be part of this vital ministry. The other thing to remember is how much I think we can impact the community around us and how critical our presence is at this moment, in this place, in Overland Park. We are called to ministry. We are called to faith in Christ. So maybe we don't always think about it, but when we hear the gospel, it's as if we're sitting by the sea. We're going about our work, and Jesus says, come and follow me. We might not see that the ministries or the things that happen in this church, and sometimes we can get cynical and frustrated, and sometimes we're tired, and sometimes we're not sure, and yet that hard work is there. So I wonder what people might say about us 50 years from now. I wonder what the people who will gather, hard to think about it, in 2064, who might be getting ready for an annual meeting, what they might look back and remember about our time. I hope what they can say is that we pass the faith on, just as those who gathered in 1964, who started St. Thomas and gifted us with the presence of this place. It's to have that relationship and to do the ministry we're called to do. So think about that this week as you go about your walk in life, about what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe Zebedee wasn't so frustrated. Maybe his heart jumped with joy. Amen.